Lars Larson, tonight at 6. John Carlson, right now, on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
So earlier this week, the Republicans released a report. It's called the Growth and Opportunity Project Report. A lot of people are saying, basically, it says, here's what went wrong in 2012, and here's what we need to do now. Five people, grassroots, Republican activists and Republican supporters and donors, Ari Fleischer, George W. Bush's former press secretary, one of the five, put this report together. Another guy who helped put it together is Henry Barber. Henry Barber is national committee member from the state of Mississippi. Joins me now here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. All right. Now, Henry, it's good having you here, by the way.
Thanks, John. Pleasure to be with you.
I know that you're buddies with our good friend Kirby Wilbur, the state Republican chairman.
Yeah, Kirby's a good guy. And Jeff Kent and Freddie Simpson also served with me on the RNC.
And so I wanted to ask you, what went wrong, in your opinion, in 2012, and what do we do, what do Republicans do to keep that from happening again?
Well, we certainly, you know, it's if you look at, one of the things that we try to do with this report, and we certainly try to learn from 2012, but mm-hmm. mostly we try to look forward. All right, what do we need to do if we want to win elections? And I like to say we want to win general elections, not just primaries. How do we grow the party? And certainly, the first thing we got to do is we got to be the party of ideas. These ideas need to be rooted in our conservative principles. They're principles that we are proud of, but certainly, we don't need to try to be a party of purity. It's okay for people to disagree on issues. And that's something I think as a party, you know, that we have to learn. You know, people talk about the Big Ten, and I think the Big Ten is the right approach in politics.
Can I tell you why I think the Republicans lost?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know that the focus is on, the demography, and that the Republicans didn't get as large a share of the
right.
Latino vote, the African-American vote, especially
sure.
the Asian vote. And I understand that, and that is an issue. But I don't think that's why Republicans lost.
It's not why we lost. It may be why we lose in the future, but it's not why we lost in 2012.
I think we lost because too many conservative voters didn't show up. And let me give you an example to follow that, Henry.
Sure. Yeah.
Here in Washington State, the voter turnout was almost as high this year as it was in 2008. In 2008, it was like 85%, believe it or not. We were number one in the nation, number two in the nation. Similar proportions showed up in 2012, about 83%. Here in Seattle, there was hardly any drop-off at all. It was almost the same percentage of people showed up this year as 4 years ago. And Seattle was like 88% Obama. But in Franklin County, in eastern Washington, where we have, you know, the Hanford Nuclear Reservation, that was Rob McKenna, Mitt Romney territory. 9% drop-off. You go to Spokane County, 5% drop-off. You go to Lewis County, 4% drop-off. If you look at the areas where we had a greater drop-off, they tended to be Republican and conservative counties. And the drop-off for in Democratic counties was much, much thinner. That tells me that people who should have showed up didn't show up, and we lost the governor's race by 3 points.
Yeah. Well, there.
Now, am I right, or is that just Washington State?
No, you're right. I mean, that is a fact of what happened nationally. And if you look at, certainly, as you said, you know, demographics matter. There are trends that are going on, and the Republican Party has got to do a good job of growing into these minority communities. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at absolute numbers, in 2008, you had about 98 million white voters participated in the election, and in 2012 it was about 5 million less. And certainly, if you just look at it demographically, you know, that was not a good result for Republicans, and we clearly didn't turn out our base. And then on the other hand, the Obama campaign did a fantastic job of registering people and turning them out who traditionally underperform, but they figured out a way to get them out. They did it in
their voter ID and turnout operation, codename Operation Norwal.
Yeah, and it was, and certainly part of it was they had a candidate that excited their base.
Mm-hmm.
They had the data, they had the technology, but more importantly, they had the organization. They invested the time and the resources to get into these communities. And, you know, for me, one of the big lessons learned in this campaign, and it's not why we lost, but it's one of the things we've got to do a much better job of, is we've got to run our campaigns from the bottom up. This past campaign was a top-down campaign, and I hate a top-down campaign. I think they're losers. And you get about 12 people who think they're making the decisions for the whole country, and it just inevitably doesn't work well. What we need to do is empower people at the local level to talk about why conservative principles are good for American families and working families, and why these principles can help people attain the American dream and educate their children and let their kids go off to college and get good jobs and do the sorts of things that parents want them to do.
Do you know Steve Pierce?
I don't.
Okay, Steve Pierce is a Republican congressman from New Mexico.
Yeah.
New Mexico is a purple state.
Yeah.
Steve Pierce's district is...
Yeah, I know of him.
Okay,
yeah.
His district is less than 40% Caucasian.
Yeah.
And he is conservative.
Oh, yeah.
All right, he's one of the more conservative members of Congress, opposed the DREAM Act, opposes amnesty. He has won 5 elections, so he's not a fluke here.
He engages the voters. I read a story about him yesterday.
Yeah, he says...
He goes out and shows up.
Here's his quote.
Yeah.
It shows up in National Review. He says, "How have I done it? By showing up. You just have to show up all the time everywhere. Most Republicans don't bother.
Yeah.
I bother.
Yeah.
I show up." And I think there's a lot to say here. The Asian vote, if there was a prototypical voter who is in concert with the principles of conservatism and Republican Party, it's the Asian American voter, family oriented, hardworking, very little reluctant or very little reliance on government, strong culture of work, family, education, etc. 30% for Romney.
Yeah. Well, we got to go ask for the order. And look, Republicans can't just talk to other conservatives and their little ideological cul-de-sac, if you will. You know, we've got to go out and engage people. And there are lots of Asians and Hispanics and Blacks who share much of our principles, but we don't go out and talk to them. And that's what Steve Pierce is doing, and that's the model that we need to do. And I think, John, we see it with our governors. You know, we have 30 governors across the country in places like Wisconsin and Michigan, New Jersey, states where Republicans are not winning in federal elections very often, and certainly not in presidential elections. But what those governors are doing is they're talking about ideas, they're engaging the voters. I can tell you, Haley, my uncle, was governor of Mississippi, and mm-hmm. in 2003, when he was first elected, he got somewhere about 8% of the black vote. When he got reelected, he got 18% of the black vote. And the reason it is, just like Steve Pierce, he showed up. He cared. He listened. Now, he didn't concede on policy. He didn't change what he believed, but he went and engaged those voters.
You know, there's
people appreciate being appreciated.
There's an old slogan, and I think that's one way of putting it. People appreciate being appreciated. There's an old slogan. People don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Yeah, that's a Jack Kemp ism, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know if it started with Jack, but Jack used to say it a lot. And I mean, that's absolutely right. Is a lot of these voters just, they just don't think that the Republicans cared about them. I mean, that was part of the Obama strategy. Is Mitt Romney, who I think is a wonderful man, a gracious man, a generous man, and he would have been a superb president. And part of the demonization of Romney was he doesn't care about you.
Yeah. Well, and we've sent that message to women. I mean, you know, some of the crazy things about rape that candidates said in the campaign, I mean, when they say them and the other side's already using, you know, some of those issues sort of as wedge issues, it did us real harm. And, you know, Republicans have got it to a much more aggressive job of reaching out to women and getting them engaged in what we do and haven't given them a seat at the table. You know, women are 53% of the electorate. This isn't rocket science. But also, I mean, women have great ideas, and women can connect with voters in many ways better than men. And we need more women candidates. We need more women involved at the grassroots level. We need women state chairmen. We need women leadership.
Yes. Well, my mentor in life was a woman named Jennifer Dunn, who you definitely know of. Haley,
He's a big fan. Yeah.
So going forward, do you think there's policy priorities that need to change for the Republicans?
Well, I do think, look, we're the conservative party, and we need to be proud to be the conservative party. We don't need to be afraid of new ideas, but they should be rooted in our core beliefs. I do think, you know, take comprehensive immigration reform. It's one of the things that we did that some people don't like in this report is we said, look, the party has got to champion comprehensive immigration reform. Now, we're not a policy committee. We're not going to tell Congress what needs to be necessarily in this legislation, and we're not out advocating for amnesty. But
well,
as a party,
we've
got to go address this issue.
Tell me the difference between comprehensive immigration reform and amnesty, because Democrats use that term as a euphemism for amnesty.
Rand Paul just came out and had a speech, 2 days ago, talking about his support for comprehensive immigration reform. And I don't suspect that he's going to be in favor of amnesty. I think comprehensive immigration reform is consistent, is consistent with our core Republican philosophy of economic growth and opportunity. We certainly want to have good labor. There are a lot of smart young people who come to our country to go to school and study. Why on earth should we not try to keep them in the U.S. and give them an opportunity to be a part of the American dream? But to answer your question maybe a little better, certainly comprehensive immigration reform may give different paths for how people can stay in the country or whether they have to go home and then come back, whether they got to be in line behind the people who are already in line for citizenship. There's not a prescribed answer to what the right answer to that is. The point is, as a party, we need to take a position on it. We need to not come across as anti-immigrant. And too often, John, I think, you get people sometimes on the radio, sometimes cable news or whatever, and they come across as anti-immigrant. And
No, you're right. You have to make clear that when you're opposing treating illegal immigrants like legal immigrants, because it's unfair to legal immigrants, you don't want to come across as anti-immigrant. Just as when you're criticizing teachers' unions, you don't want to come across as anti-teacher.
That's exactly right. We can be for accountability in schools and still love the teachers and love the kids and think it's, you know, in best interest to have accountability in schools and for education reform to be a good thing. And our governors have done a great job on education reform. And that's why I think you see our governors connecting with those suburban voters when they're running. But our candidates at the federal level, and particularly for president, we're not connected.
Last question, because we got to wrap up here, unfortunately.
Yes, sir.
And that is, if you believe, as I do, that too many conservatives stayed home,
right, that.
What do you think would have brought them out, and what will bring them back?
Well, certainly, you know, we've got to stand for our principles. We need to be proud of them. We need to help connect them with people's lives. We need to talk more about people and why we care about people and why our principles are good for people's lives and to help them attain the American dream, as opposed to sounding like a bunch of wonks talking about our accountants that just don't seem to care about people. There's a way to be firm in your principles, but to show that you care about people and you want to make a difference and that you're inclusive. You're not intolerant. Hey, you know, I'm pro-traditional marriage and I'm pro-life, but it doesn't mean that I think that somebody that's pro-choice or somebody that is for gay marriage necessarily is a bad Republican. I mean, they can be a good Republican as I am, even if I disagree with them on those issues. And so I think being inclusive is a good thing. But
well, if you believe in states' rights, if you believe in states' rights,
sure,
you know, then of course you'll say, yeah, that issue should be decided not in Washington, D.C., but it should be made a lot closer to home.
We always agree with that.
All right. Henry, it's great having you here on the show. Thanks for making the time, okay?
Yeah. Appreciate it, John.
Again, that is Henry Barber, Republican National Committee member from Mississippi, one of the five authors of this Republican roadmap, recovery roadmap, The Way Home. Lines open 206-421-5757.